And hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 46 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by former cornerback for the New York Majesty of the Lingerie Football League, Brian. Brian, how's it going today?
God damn it, Becky! Did you ever see that video?
That is one of the best clips out there, if you haven't seen it. It is a coach on, I forget which team it is,
but losing his mind
on just this cornerback. Which, granted, she did blow coverage. She gave up a couple of deep touchdowns, but still, a little bit. She's out of the fucking game. She's on the bench. You're not going back in. You just gave up 14.
One of the best videos that I have come across in a long time because, and we will address Dick Dale. There's a reason why we had that as an opener. And no, it's not because I'm going to go see Pulp Fiction this weekend. But it is an amazing clip because it is it's a highlights reel of a manager in the Lingerie Football League literally screaming and he's acting like it's the Rose Bowl. He's acting like it's the Super Bowl, NFL playoffs, as if the stakes are life-threatening.
You know what else I found?
Everybody around him just doesn't care. Nobody cares around him. They're just all like looking the other way.
And it's only like other team members around him because there's no one in the stands Correct. Watching the game.
Yes.
One thing I did not realize was apparently a few years back, I think it may have even been as far back as 2013, they renamed the Lingerie Football League the Legends Football League. But
Legends.
I don't think anybody even refers to that. They still just call it the Lingerie Football League.
Right.
So, just a little bit of trivia for you there. So here we are, episode 46, another one we're putting in the can for you folks out there.
Slowly and surely, Ron, we are getting closer to number 52, and I think we do have to start thinking about ways we are going to celebrate our 1 year anniversary, but our first anniversary of the podcast.
Yes. We've obviously been around for much longer, but yes, the 1 year anniversary of the Ron and Brian podcast. We'll celebrate with some drinks then, but now we will we'll toast with our drink of the week, which overwhelmingly was voted in by the fans as the Irish Car Bomb.
One of the most shocking things was this week we decided, you know, as last week was St. Patrick's Day, we wanted to go with some Irish themed drinks. So we went with the Black and Tan, which, as everyone knows, is half Guinness, half lager. Then we also had going up against it, the Irish Car Bomb, which is something that I'm frankly offended by.
Are you saying it's an offensive name for a drink?
It is. It's a very offensive name for a drink because one of the things that, maybe not a lot of people know this about me, but I was around during the Troubles.
Yes.
And, when Tommy Murphy and Bobby O'Shea and Ryan
Bobby
Walsh
Orr.
and Timmy Smith, you know, when these guys were fighting for the freedom, you know, they did blow up a bunch of things using car bombs. I think the idea of dropping a shot glass filled with half Jameson, half Bailey's into a pint glass filled with Guinness and slamming it down, I think it's offensive. It's offensive to my brothers, you know, my brothers in the IRA over there who are keeping the peace.
Well, our listeners have spoken, unfortunately. So Irish Car Bomb it is. I've been dreading this all week just for the mere fact that I don't like to drink beer that fast. I've never been a chugger. Been someone to chug my beer.
But I thought you liked beer.
I like beer. I mean, but, I love beer.
But if you...
I liked beer.
But I just don't like drinking it that
beer.
Fast. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to make me all gassy, and then I'm going to need some relief.
Got it.
Can you give me some relief?
Can you give me some relief?
Are we going to do this at the same time, or how are we going to do this
I think
exactly?
I think we have to do one at a time, so this way, like, we don't just have Dead Air. Do you want me to go first? Do you want to go first? Because I think the other person has to announce what the other person's doing.
All right. I will go first because I may need some recovery time after this. So I've got my shot glass. I've got my half and half whiskey liqueur. So
what brand drinks did you use?
I'm using an offshoot recipe because I realized I did not have Irish cream. So apparently you can also do this with Kahlua, which I guess makes it much less Irish. And then a little Irish whiskey, that single malt that I was drinking last week. And I did not have Guinness, but I am using a little nitro stout from Left Hand Brewing. So I have made it my own, if you will. But I think you get the same effect at the end of the day. So I'm going to actually step back a little bit because I can feel a mess coming on. And then I guess what? You just drop this in and then you chug it?
You drop it in. Now pick up the glass a little bit because I want to see it a little bit better.
All right. So you want to see it just like kind of like
just,
that?
So you drop it down. Let it fit. You got it. You got it. Don't be nervous.
All right.
I feel like this is the first time I made love to you.
So you drop it in and then go?
Just drop it down.
All right.
Then just get ready. It's in. It is up to Ron's lips. I didn't get the I didn't see the fizzing action I was expecting out of his beverage.
Ugh.
Ooh, I see a grimace. Ugh. Oh, your face is slightly reddened. This is not a good look.
It's not one of my more favorite drinks of the week. I'm just going to go on record and say that.
Well, then, can I tell you this? I can guarantee you that what you just did was better than a drink which had a whipped egg yolk.
Are you still upset over your punishment drink?
Oh, it combined two of the things that drove me crazy, which is elderflower liqueur and egg yolk. Oh, it was disgusting.
That's fair.
I'm ready to go.
All right, let's see how you do this here. What is in yours? I mean, you said Jameson and Irish.
I've got a shot of half Jameson and half Bailey's. I've poured myself a pint glass, which has half Guinness. Excuse me. It's all Guinness, but it's a half a pint. I'm going to drop it, and then you'll see me chug it.
All right. Do it up. It looks good. Very nice. See how it goes. And it's dropped. There's not a lot of fizzing in yours either, but that's all right. It's going down the hatch. He's halfway down. It's going back. He's tilting the neck. He's taking it all the way down the throat, and he is done. Very impressive, my friend. Very impressive. How was it?
Hold on. I'm trying not to.
Are you trying not to throw up on your microphone right now?
Yep. Hold on. Gonna just you know. It's like that first time you swallow a load. Like you're not expecting it. It feels different than anything you've ever swallowed before.
Is it more the taste or is it the how quickly you had to drink it?
I think I should have had eaten some pineapples over the last couple of days. So the taste didn't quite agree with me. I'm good now. All righty. I went through a phase of Irish car bombs.
Did you?
And there's a reason why I stopped.
Because you were waking up passed out drunk?
No, I was waking up wondering how I got home and vomiting frequently.
All right.
It was just, it's a tad much. But I'm going to say this. We both did it. We promised our listeners that we were going to drink our drinks, and we did it. We knocked it out this week. We did. Like real men, like real American men.
So no complaints out there from anybody. Japan, Portugal, Central America, we don't want to hear it.
Sure.
So anyway, as we always say, please give us some suggestions for Drink of the Week. Put it on our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You got many ways to get a hold of us. We've done some updates to the website, so you can always go over there. We have a little contact us page. But give us some suggestions for next week's Drink of the Week. Hopefully something better than what we just had. But again, you know that if you put it out there, we're going to drink it. So let's put that to bed and let's move on to This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
Racism.
I really feel the effects of that car bomb. We're gonna feel that through the entire podcast. But anyway,
well, I'm afraid I'm gonna burp.
I think so too.
I'm afraid what happens when I burp.
What else is gonna come up?
I think it's going to be a combination of Guinness, Jameson, and Bailey's, which is a shame, I'll tell you, because I'm a big fan of the Saturday or Sunday morning coffee with a little Bailey's in it.
Well, I remember you've told the story before how you fell in love with quote-unquote Irish coffee.
I did.
Which really is just Bailey's. For you, is Bailey's and coffee.
Correct.
But we digress. So this week in racism, our winner for the second week in a row, the kids at Spain Park High School, getting past Shane Keisel, 83% to 17%. They will be going up for win number three this week. A very crowded racist field that we had to choose from. In Virginia, we had Daniel Morley, who is a 31-year-old cop that works as a school resource officer at L.C. Byrd High School. He was identified by anti-fascist activists as being an active member of the white nationalist group Identity Europa. He was allegedly in charge of guiding new recruits through the application process, and he has been suspended from his duties at the high school, and Chesterfield County Police have recommended that he be fired. Going up into Western New York, an amateur hockey playoff game for this weekend between the Cheektowaga under-18 team and the Amherst under-18 team was canceled due to a racist incident that happened during a regular season game between the two teams.
Are you sure that it wasn't canceled because Four Pre showed up when they heard that it was an under-18 hockey game?
It was not. Apparently, during the regular season game, there is video that caught players from Cheektowaga making monkey noises towards a black Amherst player during the game. Amherst had filed a complaint after the game, which had been escalated to the New York State Amateur Hockey Association West, who did nothing with it. Yesterday, West Section President David Braunstein resigned after 19 years on the job after this story started going viral, and he also resigned from his position as District Director for U.S. Hockey and reached out to the Amherst player to apologize. An assistant coach and two players on the Cheektowaga team have reportedly been suspended, but not named. We're going overseas to Nairobi. Samora Manjezi, a black South African newscaster, says that he was called a monkey and brutally beaten by a group of young white men after he stopped to help them out after a car accident. He initially refrained from talking about the incident due to the way the Jesse Smollett case had played out. Right now, police are investigating, but no arrests have been made. But our candidate this week comes to us from East Haven, Connecticut, Corinne Tyrone, who had been an employee at Hamden Public Schools, went on a racist rant towards a black couple while shopping with her children at a ShopRite supermarket. And we have some audio from what took place in the store.
Sit down! Don't you dare talk to me in front of my kids like that, motherfucker! Lines are fucking there,
On top,
that's a school teacher, people.
Well, I believe she was administrative. I don't think she was in the classroom. She was administration
person. Doesn't
matter.
She's got access to the kids.
She also apparently made a number of 911 calls from the store where she repeated what she had said. We're just going to play one of them because it's only about a minute long. The second one was like 6.5 minutes. Which we'll put a link to it up on the Facebook page in case you want to go listen. But this is her call initially to the wrong police department, and she also is using her maiden name in this 911 call.
Fucking nigger!
Easton Police.
Hi, my name is Corinne McGovney. I was just at ShopRite, and I was with my two kids walking down the front center aisles in front of the registers, and I said, "Oh, Jesus Christ."
I'm sorry,
and
can you ask just
nigger
one
got
second?
Up in front of me. No, don't you dare put me on hold. Don't you dare.
Hello?
Hello? Don't put me on hold again.
Okay, I'm sorry, you were at Stop and Shop. Where?
Aisle of the front, in front of the registers, and I said, "Oh, Jesus Christ." I was talking to my kids, and this black guy got up in front of me and said, "Are you talking to me, bitch?" And I said, "No, I'm not, nigger." And now they're telling me I'm racial profiling.
Okay, what town are you in, ma'am?
I'm a fucking bitch.
Ma'am, you're not in Easton. We don't have a Stop and Shop. So what town
East
are you
Haven,
in?
East Haven. East Haven.
Okay, you called Easton.
All right, go fuck yourself, then.
Have a nice...
So clearly a lot of anger coming from that woman. Which, again, I'm just going to play the beginning portion again real quick, because she's clearly finishing yelling at the people in the supermarket and then switches to the nicest tone of voice ever.
Fucking nigger!
Easton, please.
Hi, my name is Corinne.
Hi.
Oh, why, hello there, officer. And
that actually, I'm going to tell you something. Like, the original video is what I felt made her a worthy candidate for Racist of the Week. Having listened to this call, which I had not heard previously, I think she's an even stronger candidate, because you see very quickly the level of the masking of the racism, where she drops the N-word thinking she's not being recorded, and then immediately goes, "Hi, my name is Corinne, and I was just at the Walmart." And the second that he is not completely supportive of her story, you hear her immediately get completely upset. "Do not put me on hold."
Well, and I like how he immediately analyze, like, all right, this is some white woman bullshit right here. I can clearly put her on hold and take another phone call. And then she just starts dropping the N-word in the 911 call. You really also need to listen to, like, the 7-minute 911 call she made to the actual East Haven Police Department, because she's dropping N-bombs. She's commenting how she doesn't want to go in and get her jacket from the store because, you know, the black guy obviously got AIDS all over her jacket.
No.
Like it's something.
See, that's the kind of thing where we should play the whole video. But I know that some of our listeners aren't big fans of us, you know, representing a story completely and fairly and accurately.
They don't want a very long audio clip, but all right, we'll acquiesce this time. So we'll put it on the Facebook page so you can check it out. But after the video went viral, Hamden School Superintendent called Tyrone to schedule a, quote, investigatory meeting, but she decided to resign from her position rather than have that meeting. The school district... Yes.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
As always,
I have a question about Connecticut people.
Okay.
What is about Connecticut people that have them, when faced with being terminated, opting to resign instead?
So who else apart from this woman?
I once worked for a company that had an office in Connecticut.
Okay.
And we had an employee that was underperforming. I scheduled a meeting with him, and he knew obviously that this is what was going to be happening. Where he, you know, so I met with him in the conference room. I said to him, "By the way, I just wanted to let you know today's going to be your last day." And he said, "I thought about that was coming, but what I would like to do is submit my letter of resignation." Reached into his briefcase, pulled out a letter of resignation. And basically saying, "Today's going to be my last day. I really enjoy the opportunity, blah, 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 blah." However, ensuring himself that he was not going to be able to collect unemployment, because now I've got a document that says that he resigned.
Well, I think for some people, it's more important to them when they're like interviewing for a future job to be able to say, "Oh, well, I left my last position voluntarily," versus having to say, "Well, I was let go."
But do they understand that there's no company now that will, or at least no legitimate company with a decent HR department that will sit there and provide that kind of information?
You would think, but I guess some people overthink themselves.
HR is so afraid nowadays that they will sit there and because of the plethora of lawsuits that HR is trying to get out of, that... you know, it's now a standard practice. Title, start date, last date. That's right.
Do you even say if they're eligible for rehire?
No. Do not answer that question anymore.
All right. All right. Interesting. We still do that, but I know a lot of companies are getting away from that. Well, anyway, Tyrone resigned because her children were present at this outburst. The school district also reported her to the Connecticut Department of Children and Families, and the police have also been in touch with Child Protective Services. And then apparently on Monday night, she was taken by New Haven police for an involuntary mental evaluation.
Ooh.
I know. So the plot thickens. So we will be keeping an eye on Corinne to see if maybe she's going to be locked up for a while. But she is, for right now, our competitor for This Week in Racism, going up against Spain Park High School. Possibly one of the toughest head-to-head matchups we've had this year. This is the Duke UNC of This Week in Racism. My opinion. Your thoughts?
I'll be honest. I think this woman is gold. I think she's bringing. I think we're talking. We are not only am I predicting that she makes it to our tournament, but I see her as an easy round two candidate. Not only do you have the vile hatred caught on video where people can see her doing it, but then she backs it up with a 7-minute 911 call where she continues to stew and spew out racist tirades. I think this woman clearly has so much to offer to the world of racism. I'm salivating at this week's poll.
I mean, let's just think about it. In the future, though, she could very well end up in the same bracket as Amber Rocco, who is already retired, already gotten the number one seed. That would be a matchup for the ages, I think. But again, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves. Go to the Facebook page. The This Week in Racism poll will be up, and you can vote Spain Park High School against Corinne Tyrone. And like I said, we will also share the article that has her 7-minute 911 call, which you probably should take a listen to before casting your vote as well. Anything else on this, Brian?
I'm just excited. I'm excited for discussing racism.
Right.
You know, I mean, and I don't mean it in the sense that I'm in favor of it. I think it's terrible and awful. But I think sometimes you're looking at candidates who just who have so much to offer. And I think we found something here.
Okay, well, let's serve up some beef of the week.
Ron and Brian's beef of the week.
What's bothering you, Brian? What do you got today?
Myself.
Really? Yes. I'm surprised it's taken this long for you to have beef with yourself. Tell me why.
I'll tell you exactly why. Because I am inconsistent on my views.
Okay. How so?
All right. Earlier today, I was on a form of social media. I do not want to give away its name because it is a copyrighted entity, but it rhymes with Minstagram. And while on this, I was scrolling. One of the accounts I follow posted a request for a GoFundMe because the account holder, their dog was recently attacked by a pit bull, and they were looking to raise funds for the veterinarian bills that are going to be a result of the dog being attacked.
Okay.
And I was instantly filled with rage.
Rage. That was your initial response, huh?
That here is someone who decides to go out and get a dog, but does not have the ability to cover veterinarian bills should something happen to this dog.
I gotcha. Okay.
So now if the public doesn't come in and help this person, they're either going to put this dog down or abandon this dog or drop off the dog at a shelter or whatnot. But they're not really they're only in a position to be a dog owner if the dog is perfectly healthy. Or they're sitting there saying, hey, listen, you know, it's not really cool because it wasn't my fault that the dog got hurt and it shouldn't hurt my wallet. So, hey, maybe all my friends and people that I know on social media, what if they all chipped in and they covered my dog's vet bills? So this way it doesn't affect me.
So
filled with rage.
So you were of the belief, don't get them if you can't vet them.
Correct.
All right.
Oh, wow. I think you've used that before. Meanwhile, as I had filled my soul with this white hot rage, I remembered that earlier in this week I donated to a GoFundMe for a close friend who is raising funds so that he can buy into a gym in Jersey.
Okay.
So and that I felt that was a perfectly valid reason for me to donate money to, but a guy who is looking to raise money for his injured dog filled me with rage. And by the way, if you're looking on GoFundMe, look up Eric Bonini, who is a personal trainer in New Jersey. Donate some money. He's a good guy and could use a break. So Bonini, B-O-N-I-N-I. Eric, go
what,
for
what
it.
What about the dog, though?
Does not the dog a penny deserve from a break? Me. Not a penny from me.
All right.
That's my beef. That's okay. My beef.
My beef this week, Brian, is with Luke Bryan.
Who, the country singer?
The country singer.
Whoa, so, this is good. Where? What is? Talk to me here, buddy.
So I have to admit, I am a fan of American Idol. It's one of my guilty pleasures. It gets me, the stories, the singing and all that. Luke Bryan obviously is a judge on the new American Idol. I know your arch nemesis Ryan Seacrest is on there.
I hate that man. I hate that man.
I know. But as far as the judges go, like Lionel Richie, you know, a legend, obviously. Can give him a pass on some of the dumb things he says. Katy Perry, you know, easy on the eyes, let's say. Don't have an issue with her. But
I think she's very hard in the brain. She's very hard in the brain.
Luke Bryan is consistently annoying with bad jokes, stupid commentary. You know, he really tries to play up that old, you know, even though he's a millionaire, he still tries to play up the old, I'm a down-home country boy. Just absolutely ruins the entire show for me. So, Luke Bryan, go away. You're my beef for the
what
week.
What in God's name are you watching The Voice for?
It's American Idol, thank you. I do watch The Voice also, and I will tell you this. Luke Bryan is a poor man's Blake Shelton. That's right. That's what, I said it. I went on the record and said it.
Wow. All right. I'm shocked at you. I thought that you had... I didn't think you went for the inane entertainment.
We all have, like I said, we have some of these guilty pleasures in life. Certainly you have some that you would people would be amazed to find out, right?
Well, Pornhub knows all about it.
I'm sure were we to look at your Google search record, we would all be shocked and probably just a tad bit disgusted.
See, that's why I use Yahoo. Nice. When I'm looking for disgusting, gross things on the internet, I go to Yahoo because I know nobody ever searches their Yahoo search history.
Smart. Very, very smart.
Using your brain.
All right. Let's get into some of our news topics for the week.
Hold
yes,
up, hold up. Yes, yes. While we're talking about inane television watching, I wanted to say to you that I did finally finish Russian Doll on Netflix.
And your thoughts?
It was a coincidence that the last episode, the same day I watched it, on and I think it was Comedy Central, showed Groundhog Day.
Okay.
And I just sat there feeling that Russian Doll is a poor woman's version of Groundhog Day.
Interesting.
Where it is a person who is trapped in a time loop and realizes that the only way to get out of it is to be a better person.
So very similar to Groundhog Day.
Same plot. Same, and not necessarily same plot, but it's the same message, the same moral. And I did read that they're doing a season two.
And your thoughts on the ending of the final episode of season one?
You mean the spoiler alert, you mean the parade with everybody else that was in it? Or yes. Was it the fact that they had split the different timelines and each individually, the only way to get out of it was to treat each other like, was to show that they cared about people?
Right, but at the very end, and again, spoiler alert, you didn't notice that both timelines had spliced back together when they came out of the tunnel?
No.
Well, they did.
What's the significance of that?
That's the thing. I'm not 100% certain. I don't know if I'm not smart enough to understand the ending of it or if it just was a dumb ending. I'm not 100% certain on that.
I think you're smart enough. I think you're good enough. God darn it, people like you.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate
you. Very welcome.
Welcome. Big in the news today, obviously, Donald Trump continuing his rampage against a dead man, Senator John McCain.
What's the deal with this? I genuinely do not understand what is going on. Like, because he's not, okay, this is the thing about Donald Trump. Not a stupid man. He's not an educated man, and he is, But there's a definite logic in what he does.
Well,
it's very calculated. It is very calculated what he does. And I do not understand, and I'm trying to fathom what the benefit is for him attacking a war hero who's dead.
I think, you know, I think it helps him in a few ways. I mean, I think it's a couple of things. I think he is a very, like, petty, small individual. So he is not going to, you know, he's not going to let go of the fact that, you know, someone may have crossed him in life, regardless of whether they're dead or not. So I think there's that part of it. But clearly, you know, he was able to say whatever the hell he wanted about an individual like John McCain during the campaign, and his base responded to that. You know, I mean, in a normal world, when he had made the comment about how he, you know, preferred war heroes that didn't get captured, you know, that would have just derailed his candidacy. You know, John McCain, whether you liked him, you didn't like him, you can't deny that he provided years of service to this country and spent 5 years in a POW camp, which, you know, during the same time that Donald Trump was getting deferment for those dang bone spurs. But clearly, you know, there is a large portion of Donald Trump's base that didn't like John McCain for whatever reason, liked him even less when he cast the deciding vote to kill the repeal of Obamacare.
Right.
And so, you know, it's just like anything else that Trump jumps on when trying to control the news cycle. I've got a short clip of him when he was at I believe it was like a tank factory in Ohio earlier today, talking about the whole situation.
So I have to be honest, I've never liked them much. Hasn't been for me. I've really probably never will. I gave him the kind of funeral that he wanted, which as president, I had to approve. I don't care about this. I didn't get thank you. That's okay. We sent him on the way, but I wasn't a fan.
And I love how often he says, I don't care about this, but no one said thank you. Clearly you care about it because you keep bringing it up and you can't fucking let it go. Like, it's insane. It's embarrassing, yet he does not have the ability to feel shame.
No.
Clearly.
But I don't get it. Like, he's looking for somebody to thank him for affording a Vietnamese war hero who was in the Senate for a long period of time, that for affording this man a state funeral. It's important that he receives a thank you.
Clearly, he felt that, you know, because he was, in his mind, he was the bigger man. He put aside his differences and how he felt about John McCain and allowed him to lie in state, which I'm not 100% certain that the president has to allow it. I'm pretty sure the Congress could have just done that regardless of what Trump wanted.
But didn't he also refuse to lower the flags to half-mast until he started taking a beating in the press over it?
Well, what happened was they lowered the flags to half-mast for, like, the bare minimum amount of time.
Yes, it was like 2 hours.
And then jacked them back up, and then, you know, people just lost their fucking minds. That's the thing. I mean, if you are a veteran in this country, I'm not sure how you support Donald Trump at this time. Just looking beyond how he treats John McCain, but looking at the fact that, you know, he still has not funded or properly staffed the Veterans Administration or Veterans Affairs, which is keeping veterans from getting much needed medical treatment, whether it's physical or mental health. You've burned through military veterans as chief of staff and defense secretary. And now the acting defense secretary is under investigation now for not diversifying from Boeing. Apparently he was trying to push people towards his old employer. But this is just an example of how fucked up this whole situation is, that this man can literally still go out. And again, wasn't a huge fan of John McCain. differed with him on a number of opinions, but
you did or Donald Trump did?
Well, Trump did, obviously. I did.
What where were your issues with him?
Well, you know, again, I think he towed the line in a lot of the Republican platform as far as it goes with women's rights, as far as it goes with abortion. You know, let's not forget, you know, he also was integral in keeping Martin Luther King Day from being a recognized national holiday for a number of years. So, you know, the man was definitely not perfect and definitely, you know, on the opposite end of the political spectrum from me at times. But I won't deny that he and his family sacrificed a lot for his service, both in the military and in public office. And he's dead. Like, what the fuck happened to having respect for the dead? I don't think that John McCain did anything so heinous in life that he would deserve this level of disrespect after he's gone.
I think what we're seeing is we are seeing the results of the decline of civility in our society, and Trump is literally pushing the limits of it. He's leading the charge of this decline and proud of it. And his supporters, their smiles are getting larger and larger as he continues to be less civil. I mean, here's the same man, and I believe we're going to talk about it later, the massacre in New Zealand at the two mosques. Subscribe to PewDiePie. But it was the fact that when asked by a member of the press whether he felt that white nationalism was on the rise, sat there and said, no, I don't think so. I think there's some bad apples out there, but otherwise I don't think, you know, when it's clear that, you know, statistically we are heading in that direction right now.
Right. I mean, in 2018, literally every mass murder, mass shooting, I should say, that took place in the United States was done by a white extremist.
Right.
So how and you ask any agency that tracks the number of hate crimes in this country, and the percentage of hate crimes and attacks carried out by white nationalists are up triple digit percentage this year, last yeah. 2 years, last 3 years. So for the president to be able to, you know, I mean, again, how difficult would it be to come out and say what happened in New Zealand is wrong and no one should subscribe to that line of thinking?
He's done that once in his presidency, and that was after about a week after Charlottesville, when after his famous speech of that there were bad people on both sides, he continued to take a beating in the press. And somebody in his, I believe it was John Kelly, his chief of staff at the time, convinced him that he needed to take a, no, it wasn't John Kelly. It was Mnuchin, the head of the Treasury, who was threatening to resign unless Trump actually made a statement saying that anti-Semitism has no place in American society. And John Kelly did come and also stressed that Trump needed to come out with a harsher comment against the white nationalists. Trump did make a statement. And as soon as Fox News made the slight inkling of, oh, here's a president that's backing down on his views, Trump literally sat there and has on multiple sources completely said that was the worst decision he ever made, was speaking out against the white nationalists.
And it certainly didn't help that, you know, all of the victims were Muslim. He clearly is not going to come out in support of anything, you know, because of that.
Right. Just terrible.
Ridiculous.
Now, it seems like we've made the transition, whether we meant to or not. Did you watch the full 17-minute clip?
You're talking the 17-minute video of the New Zealand mosque shooter?
Yes.
I was not able to. I had watched a shorter clip. It was about a minute and 15 seconds. It was incredibly disturbing. So I was not I couldn't watch the entire video.
Well, the part that you watched, I believe, is the it's the crown jewel of the 17 minutes. It is the scene that you saw, and I'm not going to say how I know that you saw it. You know, I'm not implying that I sent you a link to it. But what I'm saying is the fact that the scene you saw, that was the height of the massacre. That was the killer who, in accordance with New Zealand state law, we are not going to say his name. I will not say his name. He is not a human being, in my opinion. He is a murderer, a deeply deranged man, and I will not acknowledge him by using his Christian-born name. However, I did watch the 17 minutes, and I have a couple comments, if you don't mind, if I share.
All right.
First off, terrible camera angle. The guy, I don't know whether he was using a body camera.
He had a camera strapped to his helmet, apparently.
Okay, see, that was the problem. He needed to lower it. It should have been a camera attached to his chest, because the camera angle, in many cases, especially while he's driving, is you don't really see very well. You know, so when you start watching the video, there literally is 4 minutes of him driving around town while he is, I guess, going from his house to where the first mosque was. Nobody needs to watch this. He really should have started the video upon arriving at the mosque. Second of all, the guy's a nut job. He drew over all of his assault rifles with some type of with symbols and letters and phrases and terminologies that somehow were meaningful to his cause.
Well, there were names of other white nationalists. There were symbols connected to other groups.
Well, apparently you know more about it than I do.
Yes.
Apparently you've researched it. Then we get to the part where he does arrive at the mosque, and he gets out of his car. He goes to the trunk, takes out an assault rifle, literally walks up to the mosque and just starts shooting. This is where your minute and a half video kicks in. And what was stunning to me as the viewer was how similar it was to first person shooter games that I have played in the past, where it is literally from the person's perspective, and you are just laying fire from left to right, back from right to left, and watching people drop to the ground. I've played Grand Theft Auto. I played Doom, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, Schmookie's favorite Weekend. I mean, all the big games, all the big, you know, game, EA, it's in the game. I've played all these things. And what was amazing was how similar that video of the mosque massacre is to those shoot 'em up games. That was the part that I found most disturbing, was just how, you know, you're watching a video and you are literally watching 50 lives getting snuffed out within seconds of each other.
That was the very disturbing part. Like, it's hard to picture the mindset that you would need to be in when he's literally just walking around, just shooting people point blank range. And then after he shot everybody, he reloads and empties another magazine into the bodies just to make sure that they were dead.
The most disturbing part is that in the video, the longer version of it, it shows him going into the mosque, running around shooting, killing people. Then apparently he runs out of bullets, calmly walks back to his car, takes out a different assault rifle, walks back into the mosque, and now he's just aiming at bodies and finishing them off. Because as he walks back into the mosque, you literally hear the sounds of people groaning.
Right.
And he just starts aiming at people's heads, because now none of these people are moving. I mean, they are, if they are not already dead, they are mortally wounded, and life is escaping them. So none of these people are fighting back. He literally is just walking around shooting these people from point blank range.
Just very disturbing. The unfortunate thing is they don't have the death penalty in New Zealand, because if there is an individual that deserves it, I think it's that guy.
But I will say kudos to the New Zealand Prime Minister.
Well, and before you give your kudos, can we move into the lightning round? Because the first topic in lightning round actually ties into the New Zealand Prime Minister.
Okay, hold on. We're going to do lightning round. I think you could, first off, is this going to be a regular bit?
I'm not sure. We'll see. There's been so much that's happened in the past week that I think when we have so many topics to cover, we're just going to do a lightning round. I'm going to throw things out at Brian, get his thoughts on it. We'll spend as much or as little time on it as we think possible. But sticking with New Zealand, man, that car bomb is coming up hot and heavy.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
All right, we're going to get through this. So speaking of the New Zealand Prime Minister, she mentioned yesterday that gun law reforms will be announced for the country within the next 10 days. In the meantime, in the United States, it's been almost 2,300 days since Sandy Hook.
Our legal system is controlled by lobbyists. The NRA has a very strong lobby, and we have congressmen and lawmakers who are beholden to the lobbyists who raise funds for them, and the members of specifically the Republicans, but also there are Democrats out there. This is not a party divide, but the lawmakers in this country are beholden to the NRA. They are afraid to take on the NRA. It's one of the strongest, most powerful lobby groups that we have in America. And that is why we can't even get a law passed that requires a background check for firearms. All we've had it with the Brady bill, and we let that expire.
All right. Georgia woman attacks boyfriend with sword because she caught him molesting her 5-year-old daughter.
She should go free if we can confirm that that was what was happening.
Agreed.
I mean, sword seems a little Pulp Fiction-ish.
Maybe it was the only thing she had handy.
Maybe she was, maybe she didn't have a gimp. I don't know. Right. But I recently saw online that there was a Texas man who killed a man who had sexually assaulted his daughter.
Also okay if it's true.
And the prosecutors dropped charges against him.
All right. Kentucky governor admits that he deliberately exposed his children to chickenpox so they would develop immunity.
So he's an anti-vaxxer?
He's not an anti-vaxxer, but he doesn't feel that the government should be able to tell you what you do regarding immunizations.
Now, I'm going to say this. I agree. The government shouldn't be able to tell you what to do, but you should also be you should be restricted from what you're able to do if you are not vaccinated.
Interesting.
If you don't want to vaccinate your kids, they have to stay at home. If you plan for your kids to go out into society and go into restaurants and whatnot, they are then endangering themselves and others. And I think that at that point, that should be against the law. You have a right to do whatever you want in your own house.
Interesting you should say that, because there is a Kentucky student who is suing his local health department after they barred students who aren't immunized against chickenpox and canceled extracurricular activities during an outbreak that has affected 32 people. So your argument would be that he should lose his lawsuit.
Correct. Oh, 100. That is a baseless lawsuit. He has no right. If he wants to make a decision for himself to endanger the welfare of those around him, then I think there has to be a price to be paid for that.
Although one thing I will say, kind of going back to the story about the Kentucky governor, you know, that was a big thing back. I mean, there wasn't an immunization for chickenpox until 1995. So back in our era, like, that was a thing. Like, people would get their kids together when one would have chickenpox, so all the kids would get chickenpox and, you know, hopefully develop that natural immunity. But chickenpox can be horrendous on kids. They can get sepsis, they can have strokes. I will tell you this. I got chickenpox when I was 4 years old. I still remember how horrible it was.
Really?
Like, that's really how bad a case of chickenpox I was. That 44 years later, I don't remember anything else of being 4 years old, but I remember having chickenpox.
Well, I remember having chickenpox. I don't remember it being that bad. I remember being out of school and being covered in spots and whatnot. But what I found interesting was, and this is obviously at the time, it seemed perfectly normal, But my parents did organize a chicken pox party with some of the other local parents. But this one was held at the rectory with the local priest, where, you know, he was the organizer of it. I think that, you know, St. Michael's of Alesia sat there and they said, listen, we will host your chicken pox parties. Bring your kids. They'll stay overnight. And we will expose them to a friend who has chicken pox. I remember us all getting naked. Father Ryan also. And we wrestled. We wrestled all weekend long.
All right. Well, fond memories, it sounds like.
No, it's actually a traumatizing weekend, which I will never forget. I've spent many hours in therapy talking about that weekend.
All right. Speaking of trauma, the brother of WWE legend Kurt Angle was arrested on Saturday after picking up a youth wrestler by the neck during the Pennsylvania Junior Wrestling Championships in Pittsburgh. Apparently, this was a student in his wrestling academy, and he was upset that the student had lost his match. He felt that he didn't give the effort that he should have.
Do you have the age of that wrestler?
I want to say he was like 12.
I was going to go even lower. If you watch this video, this is a child. When you say youth wrestler, I'm thinking
maybe,
like
maybe
14,
nine, maybe
15.
Eight or nine.
This was a fucking child that lost a wrestling match and walks dejectedly over to his coach, who puts his two hands around the kid's jawline and just lifts the kid up in the air while berating him. That man should be in jail.
Well, he was arrested and charged with assault, so he has a court case pending. Let's see.
Now, all he had to do was lift the WWE belt in the air right afterwards, and the crowd would have gone crazy.
Would have gone nuts. Let's see. Robert Kraft is trying to prevent the video of him getting a hand job from being released to the public. Apparently, it's a law in California when people are arrested due to solicitation. All of the evidence in their cases is made public. So we could very well, if we wanted to, at the end of the day, be able to get a copy of that video. And he is trying to stop
that. Florida or California?
Florida.
You said California.
My bad.
Okay, now, here's another one I will go on record with.
All right.
His video should not be released if everybody else's video that was arrested in that sting operation is also released to the public.
It wouldn't just be him. It would be all evidence against everyone charged in the case would be released.
Then I say release it. Let's all watch it, because I think it would be kind of cool for me to give myself hand relief while watching Robert Kraft getting hand relief by a sex slave who has been trafficked from overseas.
Can you give me some relief?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't see why, because he's a famous individual, that this stuff should not be released.
Well, apparently he is trying to make that part of his plea bargain. Apparently they are working on some sort of resolution to his case where he would plead no contest. Basically, he would put in an Alford plea, which states that there is enough information there that he probably would be found guilty. But as part of that plea deal, he's trying to get any video or photo evidence suppressed from the public. So we'll see if he's successful with that.
What about the, and I don't know, and I'm sure you've been following this, but the owner or the former owner of the chain of massage parlors that where he got arrested from, she is a member of Mar-a-Lago and is now under suspicion of selling influence to Chinese businessmen and women where where they would become her invited guests to Mar-a-Lago when Trump was in town.
I mean, she did put on a business website that she could connect people with the president. And she did watch the Super Bowl at a party that President Trump was in attendance.
Yes. So I think there may be more going on than what's on the surface here.
Just a skosh.
Yes.
So I mentioned California. Maybe that's because I was actually have a story here from California Representative Devin Nunez, who this week filed a $250 million lawsuit against Twitter. Republican strategist Liz Mayer, and two parody Twitter accounts, Devin Nunez's mom and Devin Nunez's cow, Apparently, he owned some farmland, and so that's where the cow account came up. Here is the interesting thing: the Devin Nunez's cow Twitter account at Devin Cow had only 1,204 followers at the time he filed the lawsuit. It is now approaching 500,000 followers, about 120,000 more than Nunez himself. So another great example of someone bringing more attention to a situation than it had before by filing a really stupid lawsuit that pretty much every legal person out there agrees he will lose miserably.
Yeah, well, I think it just shows once again that that there's a lot of people out there who do not have a sense of humor and do not understand when things are being done in humor. And also don't realize that that you're better off just letting these things die out on their own accord rather than taking than creating a lawsuit which would drum up more publicity for it.
All right.
Like I never knew that there was an account on Twitter which referenced a cow that was embarrassed of somehow being related to him.
Well. Now it's got a 500,000 followers in literally a day and a half.
Are we following it?
We are now following both Devin Nunez's mom and Devin Nunez's cow, as well as Devin Nunez's cock and Devin Nunez's ego.
Ah, well, see, that's the beautiful thing is the fact that if Twitter takes down his mother and cow accounts, people are just going to create other Devin Nunez's other things.
I may change our account to Devin Nunez allegedly killed a woman in 2003 just to see if we can get some traction.
I think it's the absurdity of what's going on that I don't think anyone actually believes that his mother has a Twitter account where all she does is mercilessly tear him to shreds.
Well, the mother thing might be believable. You know how some families are.
Yeah, but wouldn't she actually have an account with her name on it?
Well, you would think.
Yeah.
The cow is much less likely to be tweeting, is my guess.
So genius. Because they don't have the opposable thumbs.
Right.
They can't work up. They don't know how to work a laptop.
Even if they tried that cow tongue, the slobber eventually is going to ruin the phone or the laptop, one or the other.
Of course.
All right.
What else?
Jumping back to New York. The prestigious and selective public high schools in New York City are having a spotlight shown on them due to the lack of diversity. On Monday, it came out that Stuyvesant High School, out of 895 spots, only admitted 7 black students. That's down from 10 students last year and 13 the year before. Also, the Bronx High School of Science only made offers to 12 black students this year, down from 25 last year. These numbers coming despite Mayor de Blasio's vow to diversify the specialized high schools.
I went to Stuyvesant. Is that why you're calling me out on it?
You did go to Stuyvesant?
I went to Stuyvesant.
I was not aware of that.
1990.
Interesting. Did you have a diverse student body while you were there?
It was, there were Asians, there were whites, there were blacks and Hispanics. And they made the mistake of releasing in the school newspaper the ethnic makeup of the graduating classes over the past decade. And what was significant was that each year, African Americans made up 8%.
Interesting.
And Hispanic Americans made up 10%. And the other 80% were divided between whites and Asians. So the numbers would fluctuate between Caucasians and Asians, but the African-American and Hispanic-Americans were consistent year in, year out. And it was terrible because what it was basically advertising was that there was indeed a quota system within the school, and it caused a lot of students to sit there and view their classmates as not being legitimately qualified to attend the school and were only there because their parents had paid $500,000 to get them into Stuyvesant.
Well, now the percentage is down. If you look at the 2019 fall class in Stuyvesant High School, it's actually 0.8% of the admitted students are black. The majority are Asian. But let's look at some of the other ones. We mentioned Stuyvesant had 7 of 895. Bronx High School of Science, 12 of 803. Brooklyn Technical High School, 95 out of 1,825. Brooklyn Latin School, 57 out of 540. Staten Island Technical School, 1 out of 304 students. High School for Math, Science, and Engineering at City College, 8 out of 165. Queens High School for the Sciences at York College, 4 out of 142. And then the High School of American Studies at Lehman College, 6 out of 124. So if you look at the numbers, definitely I would say 85 to 90% of students at these schools are a mix of white and Asian, but a significant lack of representation from both the Black and the Hispanic community, especially given, you know, the demographics of New York City as a whole. These schools clearly don't represent the society that they are in.
Yeah, no, that's terrible.
That's all you got to say? Is this terrible?
I think I've already spoken my piece.
It's terrible. All right. And then the last part of the lightning round, we're going to go to Fall River, Massachusetts, where they recalled their mayor and reelected him at the same time. We're talking about Jaziel Coria, who was under, he's under indictment, federal indictment for fraud. They held a recall election. So as part of the recall election, there was two questions. Number one was whether they should recall the mayor. The second question was that if they do recall the mayor, who should be elected in his place? There were five candidates that could be elected mayor if he was recalled. He was smart enough to put himself on the ballot for people to be able to vote with. So enough people voted to recall him. But since there were so many people that people could vote for splitting the vote, he was reelected at the very same time.
That is absolutely ridiculous.
Exactly. It's Fall River. Utterly ridiculous. I've been through Fall River. They deserve anything they've got coming to them.
Oh, that's just stupid. Unbelievably stupid.
So that's the lightning round. I'm going to close the lightning round book for this week. Anything else you wanted to roll through this week, my friend?
Wanted to talk about a loss that was felt very strongly in my world. Surf guitar legend Dick Dale.
Yes.
Most famously known for the hit song Miserloo, which opened up Quentin Tarantino's movie Pulp Fiction, passed away this past Saturday in his home in Loma Linda, California, at the age of 81. A lot of people may not necessarily link Mr. Dale, as I like to call him. A lot of people don't necessarily link him with the effect that he had in the music scene. I mean, here was a man in the 50s who basically pioneered surf guitar, which to me is a forebearer of the heavy metal music, the rock music. It was a staccato sound of playing notes that reverberated multiple times, and just a fucking legend. I was not that aware of him before Pulp Fiction came out. Got exposed to him, immediately said, "This is music that I can connect with," and listened to his music basically for the past, Jesus, what are we calling it, 30 years at this point?
Yep. So it's Pulp Fiction about that, yeah.
I saw him every time he came around for probably, I would say, a good decade. And what I noticed, and this is one of the things people need to talk about, is he toured every year. You could see that he was getting older. He was not able to move as much as he used to be able to. And it pretty much got accepted that, he had some medical issues. He was suffering from heart and kidney failure. And he was still going out and touring. And in interviews, when people asked him, "Hey, you're in your late 70s. Why are you still out on the road, for a couple months out of the year?" And his answer was, "I need to pay my bills. I need to cover my medical expenses. I don't have insurance." And I just think, You know, for a guy who has accomplished as much as he did, who has contributed to the American culture the way he did, I think it's a shame that that's how he spent the last years of his life.
So you're coming out in support of Medicare for all?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, good.
Absolutely. And I think the people that have should pay for it. I genuinely feel that at some point we as a society have to look at each other and say we are Americans and we care about each other.
We got to take care of each other.
And not just and not, hey, we're all in this for ourselves. And that is, I think, where as a society we are going down the shitter.
All right. Do you think it's too early to mention where we will be on May 11th?
Feel free.
All right. So we will be at Broken Goblet Brewing in their new facility in Bensalem, PA, for the Life of Agony concert. We are not an invited guest of the band or the brewery. We're just going to be there. So if you're in the Philadelphia area on May 11th, you know, visit the Life of Agony website or Broken Goblet Brewing on their Facebook page for tickets. I believe it's $25 for presale.
Very reasonable.
Very reasonable.
Will we be recording a podcast?
I mean, I guess that all depends on where we're at, what kind of equipment we can haul with us.
I think we got to. I think this should be the kick in the ass for us to get some mobile podcasting equipment so we can do a show.
At the very least, we do a Facebook Live from the concert. At the absolute very least.
Yes. Other thing I wanted to ask you, I wanted to follow up on something from last week,
yes.
Was how is your Invisalign?
So I'm on week two. I have to say when I first put the second week in, a little bit of pain, definitely a little bit tighter than the week before, because it is really just pushing your teeth together. So
you have 52 different things to put in your teeth?
Well, each week there's a new set. You know, and each set gets a little bit tighter to force the teeth back together.
Right. Okay.
So I have my second set. I'll put the third one in on Friday. So, yeah, so it definitely was a bit snug, but that lasts for, like, the first couple of days. Now it's not too bad. Getting a little bit more used to talking with them. Still have a bit of dry mouth from having, obviously, a couple pieces of plastic in my mouth all the time, but I just do that. I just offset that by drinking heavily. So,
now, next question is, does this affect your diet? Do you have to watch what you eat? Because I know when kids get braces, they have to monitor what they're eating.
I don't have to watch what I eat. I mean, I do need to make sure if I have anything stuck in, because you take these out when you eat. But I do need to make sure, like, I clean out my teeth before I put them back in. If anything, I'm snacking less because I just feel too lazy to take them out to eat at various times. So it's not too bad. And I do try to avoid foods, like I'm avoiding, like, nuts and things like that get stuck in between my teeth. So it's
are you avoiding all nuts or just D's nuts?
I'm not avoiding your nuts, my friend.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's
funny. What else do we got?
I think that's it. Did you want to kick through the college admission stuff, the updates on that?
Nah, fuck them. Fuck them. These are all. I think it was Julia Roberts who made a comment this past week, which said, you know, that the whole thing is sad.
It is.
You know, as much as we want to make this a criminal case about bribery and fraud and whatnot, but ultimately what this is are wealthy parents who do not have faith in their children to be the best of what they're capable of, and decide that they're going to lie, cheat, and steal to get their kids something that they don't deserve. And that ultimately is the saddest part of it all. I saw earlier there was an article in the Daily Mail, which referenced Aunt Becky's, one of her daughters, who was upset around, apparently, like, now her people are now talking to the media and saying that she never wanted to go to college and that she just wanted to focus on her career of being a YouTube vlogger and an Instagram account manager, or whatever the
Instagram
fuck they call it.
Influencer. Yes.
And what it broke my heart that there are that is considered a career choice in this society that we live in now, where suddenly making a YouTube video where you're staring into a camera saying, watch me put makeup on while I ramble about going out for dinner, and somehow that is going to make you money. I think it's just such a sad statement of where the society is headed.
But and I will rarely defend an individual like this. At least she had the self-awareness enough to be like, I don't really want to go to college. College is not going to provide me any benefit. And her parents,
oh, great,
it just seems, had this thought and said, you know, I'm gonna spend $250,000. So, you know, I don't know that you can necessarily blame her that much when she didn't want to be there in the first place. Although I think my
well, that's true. That's true of my first five sexual conquests in life.
I think my favorite.
And they didn't want to be there.
I think my favorite comment about her, Olivia Jade, was from John Oliver on his show this past week, where he had a picture of her her dorm room at USC, where she had a couple of letters with her initials OJ, and he was like, clearly, no one explained to her that OJ and USC don't have a good connotation anymore.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I want to craft a great joke one of these days. Clearly, I haven't.
You want to Robert Kraft a great joke?
I haven't done a great joke in 46 episodes. One of these days, I'm going to get it done.
I think you're wrong. I think you're killing the Twitter troll game.
You know, I'm attempting to get us banned from somebody else. You know, I was going back and forth with Dana Loesch from the NRA, the GOP. I was hoping to get the GOP to block us, but you know, I'll work on it. Seth Rogen got blocked by Larry the Cable Guy, which I think is absolutely fucking hilarious.
Are you kidding me?
I shit you not.
What did he say about Larry the Cable Guy?
Larry the Cable Guy posted so apparently he shared some video of a kid getting like a pat down at an airport, and then right. Donald Trump retweeted Larry the Cable Guy's tweet, and then I'm not even exactly sure what Seth Rogen said or did, but clearly it was enough to piss off Get Her Done Guy. So
Get Her Done. Okay, yeah, no, that's ludicrous.
Done Larry. So
now my question to you is, how do you know whether you've been blocked or not?
Well, you have
to. Does it send you a notification if you've been blocked?
You don't. You actually have to go to. You either have to look at like a tweet that you replied to, or go to the Twitter account, and you can't see it.
So it's possible that we have been blocked on Twitter by more people than just two.
It's very possible.
We're just aware of two accounts that have blocked.
I'm only aware of the two so far. Yes.
Now, if you're a listener, go to Twitter, and I want you to go to our account, Ron Brian Podcast, and follow us. Do not block us. Follow us, because we are spouting truth bombs and keeping the world entertaining.
Listen, we're serving up truth for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's all about how much you can eat, my friends.
Damn right.
So,
and apparently you're able to eat anything with those Visalines except nuts.
Exactly. So again, go to the Facebook page. We'll have This Week in Racism up. We'll have the 911 call up that we didn't play earlier. Yes, follow us on Twitter. We're very active on there. Instagram. Go to the website. But most importantly, subscribe, rate, review, share this podcast with your friends. We're trying to grow into the juggernaut we feel it can be, and we appreciate you listening. We appreciate your help. Brian, anything else you got for us this week?
I wanted to thank the people who have actually left reviews on our podcast in the iTunes store.
All right.
I know that, you know, we ask people to rate, review, share, and whatnot. And I think that, you know, I have, personally, and this is just my own mistake, but I have actually, I forgot that we've been asking people and that we want people to review. And I forgot to actually go and check to see what reviews we have gotten. And the last I looked, we have gotten a total of 6 reviews on our podcast.
It's getting there, little by little.
Okay, that was it.
That was all you got. All right.
I just wanted to say thank you, people, for reviewing.
All right, sounds
good.
Keep
it up.
So, love you, my man. I will see you again next week. In the meantime, everybody, be good to each other.
Thank you.